Bring Christian greetings to each one this morning. I'd like to look, if you'd like to look along with us, over into Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And I'd like to start with verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. For ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Why don't we bow our heads for prayer? Dear Father, as we come to thee this morning, we thank thee that we can look to the one that is higher than us, the one that holds our lives in his hands, the one that we desire to be our guest in this service more than anything else. We pray that thou wilt speak to each one of us this morning, that thou wilt open the word to our hearts. Help us, dear Lord, that we might take an inward look and allow the Spirit to deal with us and work with us. And Father, help us to be pliable like the clay in the Master's hand. Help us, dear Father, that we might be used in thy kingdom, in thy way. We have asked these things in thy precious name. Amen. I'd like to look also, if you want to turn with us to Psalms 126. Psalms 126. This is one of my favorite scriptures. I've used it a lot of times, and it means a lot to me. And especially this time of the year, it brings things to mind also. Psalms 126, starting with verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I want to read that one more time. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Also a scripture in Luke, the 8th chapter. Luke, the 8th chapter, I'd like to read, starting with verse 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground, and they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit and patience. I believe we'll stop right there. And I just read to you over there in Psalms 126 where it said that he that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I wonder what that means to you this morning. I hope that each one of you is a sower of good seed. We were talking about in our Sunday school lesson today about being more willing to forget ourselves and to speak to people, talk to them about their needs, or maybe when they take the name of the Lord in vain, saying something, not being afraid to do what is right. But if you have that in mind, that what you have is precious seed, it's good seed, it's the Word of God. It is God's holy Word. It's not written by some man. It's not put out by some church organization. But it is directly from the hand of God. This is God's holy Word. And it will, it says, the Scripture says, that he that goeth forth and weepeth, bringeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. One of these days we're going to come to the place he's talking about right here, and it's going to be the great day of harvest, when the Scripture speaks about he's going to send the angels forth. They're going to gather the tares. He's going to let them all grow up together until the time of the end. And then the tares will be gathered, and they'll be thrown into the fire. And the good wheat is going to be brought in to the place of eternal glory. And won't it be a wonderful thing if you've been willing to deny the flesh and what the flesh would like to say as far as, you know, but if I say this or if I act this way, they're going to think I'm odd. I never will forget. Sometimes we're put on the spot. And it just came to my mind again. What was it this last week? The passing of one of the prominent men downtown. And I remember how that he came into the store one time and really put me on the spot. I probably wouldn't have just walked up to him and talked to him about being wrong to go to the theaters or the movies on myself. But I was at the counter, and here he came, and he put me on the spot and was asking me, and I think he had a paper and wanted to post it there about a movie and invited me to come to the movies. Well, what do you say? This man owns them. This is his business. This is his livelihood. This is all he's done for years. Now, what do you say? And I said, well, and I can't remember all that I said, but this is maybe the essence of it. I let him know that because of the things that were in them that we couldn't, recommend that people go to them. And I said, above everything, we want to make it to heaven. In other words, we didn't want to do anything that would grieve the Lord, but we wanted to make it to heaven. And he said, I knew you all was odd, but I didn't think you was that odd. And he said, I'll just take my business someplace else. And that's when I mentioned to him about, well, above everything, we want to make it to heaven. And he said, just what you think. And he walked out the door. That was my last message to him. Many times before that, I met him different places, and I would nod and smile and open the door for him or whatever. And I was given a message each time that I tried to be friendly to him. But this was something that I was brought right to the point and had to say something. And I had to try to say what was the truth. And, you know, I wonder if he would have thought about that afterwards. You wonder, as he thought about some of the pictures that had been showed, maybe murder scenes, maybe immorality, maybe vice that had been given out to the young peoples of this community that would have taken them down the drug road or some other way that would have ended their life in misery and brokenness, broken homes and children cast out on society. I know that the Lord is faithful, And I know that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will take a seed that is sown and he will deal with a heart. And I'm confident that he did with this man too, so that everyone that leaves this old world is inexcusable. And some of us have much, much more light than others do. We have lots and lots of truth and light here in America. We're going to be held accountable in even a greater way than what many other countries are. And I was thinking about what some people would say, well, you know, just let him grow up. He's got to find his way. I heard that statement made one time. Just let him grow up. He's got to find his way. And I wonder, you know, I'm thinking about my garden again. I've had a lot to do with my garden this last week. And just let it grow up. It'll find its way. Yeah, it will. I've seen that happen. And I remember after I got everything all worked up, that I got me a hoe out there and made me a row. And then I got some corn seed, and it was good seed. At least that's what they told me. We'll find out in a little while. They said it was really some of the best. And I heard them say that you should take your seed and soak it in water overnight before you plant it, or at least a while, and it helps it to sprout faster. Anyway, I didn't get it in there that long, but I did put it in some water and let it soak for a while. And then I took it out and I started in planting. And you know, I suppose it depends on how tall you are, or how short you are, how easy it is to plant. Maybe some people get down on their knees and plant. But I'd stooped over, and it's quite a ways down to the ground. And I would start in planting. And I've seen them plant two together, and I've seen them plant them further apart and narrow. Anyway, I put my seeds about 4 or 5 inches apart, and I didn't put two together because I've seen sometimes that maybe works okay. But I specifically did it just a certain way. And I would dare say, I see some of you smiling. I know that you have a particular way that you plant corn, and that's the way to do it. And you may say, okay, we put two seeds together and plant them a foot apart. Well, what does it matter? What does it matter how you plant it? I mean, it would have been easier if I took a handful of that and just sort of strung it down through my little trench that I made. And when I got to the end, my back was bothering me. And I remembered that story that I read over in the reading book in the school about the little boy that got tired. And so at the end of the row, he just sort of put the rest of them, just dump it there at the end of the row, go up to the next one and start down the line. Put them down there, and you know, they all of a sudden they start getting closer together, and just a sort of a string of them, and then at the end of the row, just sort of dump it. No problem. What does it matter how you plant? Does it matter how you live? Does it matter how you teach your children? Does it really matter? Are we regimenting things too specifically? You know, every 4 inches. Now, I remember when our children were growing up, we wanted them to help us. So we didn't want them to do it partially right and partially wrong. So we took a little stick and we made it about 4 or 5 inches long. We said, okay, now you lay that stick there and you put a seed there and a seed there. Then you move the stick over and put a seed there and go down the row that way. It'll be perfectly right if you do it that way. And I had one of my little grandchildren out there, but I didn't ask him to do that because I was afraid it might be a disaster. I thought maybe just a little bit too small, but he was still doing some things. He helped gather me some little sticks up to stick at the end of the rows, and I thought if he was around very long, I'd teach him a few things about those things. But does it matter how we plant? And we as Christians, as we go forth sowing the precious seed, you know, one of the brethren mentioned in the Sunday school class, we can get to the place where we just do these things out of an obligation. Okay, this week we're going to have tract distribution, so everybody get together at 6 o'clock. We all jump in the cars, and here we go to Seymour. Next time we go down to Mansfield. Then we go down to Ava and just regimenting things. And we just go spend our time and go to McDonald's and have a big meal and go home and tract distribution. Maybe we go to sing at the homes. But I hope it's not that way with us. I hope that as we go forth sowing carefully the precious word of God, as we take one of those little tracts and hand it to someone, that we're prayerfully giving it to them, praying that God will take the word and that he will speak to their hearts through this precious word, that somehow he may be able to reach them and bring them to the place where they give their all to the Lord. Do we have something that's real? Do we have something that works? Do we know it works in our own life? Do we have something that we can recommend to them? And I think we do. Thank the Lord for the precious word of God. Sometime you just need to, each one of us, sit down and read that fourth chapter of Ephesians over several times. There's just so much in there. It starts off speaking about the different ones and our different responsibilities. No matter where God has put us in his church, in his body, it's an important place. It's very important. You know, whether it's our hands or our feet, the scripture calls them uncomely parts, they're important. The other day, I found out that our fingers are important. And this morning, my little granddaughter looked at my fingers. She said, "Grandpa, what happened?" And you can probably see it from clear back there. It's turning colors. It's not like it should be. And there's a reason that it's that way. It's because it's in the wrong place at the wrong time. I just was too relaxed, too complacent. What would you say? I had a casual attitude, let's put it that way. There's a big fireproof cabinet with concrete all around it, and concrete in the layers and in the front. And I laid my hand up on top of that. I had the drawer open, and I wanted the drawer shut. And I didn't think that that finger was in the wrong place. And I gave it a big shove, and it didn't snap shut like it should. But I did a little jig, if you want to put it that way. I'd hate for anybody to have been around. But I didn't stand still, and I wasn't quiet. But thankfully, I didn't say bad words. I think that that's one thing that is important. You know, I saw one man, and he hit his finger with a hammer out on the job. And he just told me how that he, just before this, had died one time and was clinically dead. And he was out for I don't know how many minutes. And I had grabbed him even that very day. He'd been walking along with a piece of plywood and the wind caught him. And he almost went off the bridge. But I reached out and grabbed him and jerked him back. And he didn't even realize who grabbed him. But he said, "I can't afford to die again. I almost died the one time. I was clinically dead." And he told me about what all he saw. And seeing this long lighted tunnel and all of these things. And I was rather impressed until he was beating nails in and come down on his thumb good and proper. And then he was a member of a certain church. But that didn't evidently take care of the problem, because there were words came out that weren't what they should have been. And, you know, it does matter how we carefully work out our salvation with fear and trembling. There is nothing more important in the whole world that you make it safely into heaven. Each one of us. And we can work our way all we want to, and it won't work us into heaven. All the good things we want to do won't pay the way to heaven. Jesus' precious blood is what paid the price for us to make it to heaven. But as a result of us being a real Christian and loving the Lord with all of our heart, it's going to make us want to please him in everything we do. And then we find in this scripture in Ephesians, where it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness," here it's saying, get rid of this kind of stuff, "bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice." Be done with that stuff. You don't need that kind of seeds. in vocational agriculture down at Rogersville, we learned that there were certain weed seeds, and some of them are called noxious, and I don't know, they're different. They're graded in different ways. Some of them are bad. You could say it this way: bad, worse, and the very worst. And those things you don't want in your garden. And those things you have to continually watch for. When those things try to stick up their nose, chop it out immediately. And don't just chop it off. Get it out by the roots. And then plant the good seed. Be ye kind one to another. There is no place where that we cannot be kind one to another. And let it not be just a varnished or a put on smile. I hate put on smiles, don't you? I guess a put on smile is better than a frown or whatever. But I love to see someone that's got a real smile, that when they give you a handshake, it's a good, firm handshake. Not one of these fishy hands. Have you ever got a hold of somebody and you shake their hand and it's sort of, you get it and it's just sort of like a fish in your hands? I like somebody to get a hold of my hand and show me that they do appreciate me, or at least that they're trying to be friendly. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted. You know, that means from way down here. It's not just outside. It's not varnish. It's not put on. It's real. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Oh, I tell you, if we just treat one another like we'd want to be treated, the golden rule, it'd just make everything work about right. Thank the Lord that we can plant the good seed and expect a good harvest with, and I like this, a carpenter's eye, a good straight row, and everything in perfect order. I hate crooked rows, and I hate things out of order. But we can plant right, and we're going to reap right. Let's kneel in prayer.